Blog Talk Radio.
This is Simone Nicole. I'm Joshua. Join us as we go down the river of life, talking about encouragement, love, health, nature, travel, gardening, grieving, cooking, recipes, and whatever takes your mind. Welcome.
Nicole, welcome, and I'm Joshua. As always, whoever you are and wherever you are, a really, really warm welcome. Great to be with you, and we already have Golf up the gangplank in his tuxedo, and another little viewer hanging on the side there somewhere, trying to get up the gangplank, possibly. But a warm welcome to you, and a great to be with you wherever you are on the planet. And so, just another. What you might call absolutely sunny, hot, humid Texas day here. Loving life and living life. That's what it's all about. And I hope that you're really keeping well, you guys. Hope you're keeping well. Hope you're staying safe. Most of all, I hope you're savoring your blessings. It's good to be here with you good folk. I really enjoy sitting with my friends across the internet. That's about the best way of putting it. Really great to be sitting with you good people. And it's my social outing. It's my Wednesday night social outing. So, but as always, it's good evening to those of you listening in the USA and Canada. It's good afternoon on Thursday afternoon down on the east coast of Australia. And it's good morning to our good friends across in the UK, Europe, and in South Africa. And a warm, friendly g'day, hello, howdy, whatever it might be, to those who are listening in archives. And there's a bunch that are listening in archives, so thank you for that. So any new listeners, just check out the first few minutes of the first 15 minutes, I guess, of the very first show we did, Introduction and Overview, and it'll give you an idea of what we're up to here, where we're celebrating and commemorating Wee Simone's brief life, hopefully bringing some relaxation, hopefully some tranquility and some serenity, every now and again a little bit of frivolity. But you can check out Simone's website, simoneandnicole.net, simoneandnicole.net. And whether I'm sitting here with you guys live in the chat room or people in the switchboard, good to see Alan's there. Alan's in the switchboard, good man, and good to see you again, mate. And yeah, it's the Mad Scissor Lady's not there anyway. But yes, it's great to mix and mingle with you guys, and visiting with you good folk is one of my valued God-given blessings. And I'm very grateful and very thankful for all of our God-given blessings. As always, we'll talk about the trip along the ride along the river of life, with all its calms, with the white waters, the deep waters, the shallow waters, the bumps and the blessings. We'll check that out along the way. And the show, the website, the Twitter page, they're all tied to our little angel Simone, which in many ways reminds us older ones of how fragile life can be sometimes. But in doing so, in a positive sense, it reminds us to also cherish the God-given blessings that have come our way. It also, you know, it's good at this time to take time just to kick back, pause, relax, chill out, lay back, and just doze off if you wish. I won't be insulted. Just doze off. If you doze off, I've done my job. But yes, my beautiful SP, and for those who don't know what SP is, my beautiful SP, the Sky Princess, and I are very blessed to be living where we live, because we're sort of in a very ideal place. It's a little oasis of tranquility, of serenity, and our place of fun. It's our little bowl of joy and happiness, and life doesn't get much better than this. And we're savouring the simple abundances of life around us, the natural euphoria here that comes from living and loving life here. It's great. There's no doubt about it. So, yes, if you check out Simone's website, simonenicole.net, it'll show you some memes and a few other things on there. Bunch of stuff. There's several pages of stuff on there to do with cooking, gardening, grieving, the whole works, and just nature, travel, romance too. Romance. We have a bit of romance every now and again. But every day, SP and I, we thank God for our bountiful blessings here. And one thing's for sure about life, and I know for a fact that God definitely works in mysterious ways. There's no doubt about that. He works in mysterious ways. And I have I've been doing these readings. I've got another reading to do today to start the show off here. And at the same time, just before I start that reading, I'll just say a big hello to the Bigfoot, who's wandered in with his tuxedo as well. So, and I got tick, tick, tick with my typing and talking at the same time. It's very hard for an old man to do this sort of stuff. But yes, so the reading I wanted to talk about today, when we're talking about God working in mysterious ways, there's was called Getting Up and Get Going. Get Up and Get Going. And basically it comes back to this. You've got to ask yourself this. How many times have you fallen? 7? Then get up and get going. Well, I always, the funny thing, they talk about 7. I always I'm pleased to see you're getting in a Bigfoot without that message there. I don't know what that's all about, but it's interesting that Bigfoot, and the Mad Scissor Ladies are now turned up to join Alan in the switchboard. Poor Alan. Alan needs to hide. The Mad Scissor Ladies turned up in the switchboard. Golf. I think Bigfoot and young Sue have been sharing the same limousine. They turned up here tonight in the same limousine. I know they did. I know they did because they walked in at the same time. Yep, that's it. But as I often say, life's like a 15-round boxing contest. We get knocked down, we get back up, we get knocked down again, and we get back up, and we get knocked down again, and we shake our head, and we don't know what round we're in. But this reading I'm having here for you tonight about, you know, how many times have you fallen, and this, they say 7, then get up and get going, because God is your refuge and your strength, and you need not fear what the enemy of your soul can do to you. Greater is he that lives in you than he that occupies space in this world system. And regardless of the reason you stumble or fall, the goodness and the grace of God are like arms of love that wrap themselves around you to lift you up again and again. And such is the power of God to redeem, to restore, and to refresh. And the darkest hours will not keep you from getting up and going, because Jesus is a light. The deepest sorrow cannot keep you from getting up and keeping going. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. And even death cannot keep you down, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And in the face of fear and frustration and failure, you can win the victory as you get up and get going. That's what it's about. Keep getting up and keep going. That's what it's about. You're not alone. You know, you're not alone. And the prayer of the day is, Dear Lord, I've failed again and again. I have fallen. Please lift me up. And that comes into what we're talking about in the sense of God working in mysterious ways. There is no doubt about that. Yes, we'll keep this part of the show as it was last week and get the more serious stuff out of the way before we get back into a more relaxed part of the show. And as usual, we're talking to the folk who have challenges around the place, people dealing with personal challenges, medical challenges, relationship challenges, financial challenges, whatever they might be. But I did get some good news from a certain young lady last week that certain things about this show have been helpful to her, and that is good, because that's not the only piece of positive feedback we've had from people, and it's great. And it's great to know that while you're dealing with your challenges, that certain little things are improving, and maybe not everything, but certain things are improving, and that's positive in itself. So I've got to state this at this part of the show, though. I've got to make this quite clear to everyone. And I've said it before on the show, but I need it to be emphasized, that I'm no professional. I'm not medically trained in any way whatsoever. I've just learned a bunch of stuff along the way because of my own, my own health challenges that I've had myself along the way. And I just know that there are other ways besides the pharmaceutical dosages that are tossed at us. So I know there are other ways, and Golf's a classic example of that. Our good friend Golf in the chat room, he's a classic example of that, of showing the way with regards to improving your health through using natural remedies. And so right at this time, guys, I want to use this part of the show to sort of signal to those out there dealing with challenges, and I know I've got some people who have got into a better sort of place, and they are in the USA and the UK, but we've got others around the place also in the USA and Australia and in South Africa who are dealing with all sorts of stuff at the moment, which is really, really, really challenging to the maximum in some ways. And so we want to just set a bit of time aside here to pray for them at this time. So,
friends and listeners of Simon and Nicole. Let us pray. To those of you who are dealing with and confronting challenges within your own lives. Words of encouragement are all I have. Words of understanding are all I have. Words of comfort are all I have. Most of all, words of brotherly love and humane friendship are all I have. You are not alone. This prayer is for those of you who are not in a good place with life at this time. For whatever reason that may be, the only tool I have to reach out to touch you and lift your spirits, lift your energy, are my words. With these words coming from within my heart, I assure and comfort you and tell those of you dealing with hard times that life does get better. Yes, believe me, from the darkness, light will shine. If I had the wings of a soaring bird, I'd fly over to be with you at this time. Then you'd know you are not alone. Always know that we're here for you. May our prayers softly sweep away the rawness. May our prayers push away the pain as you work to wilt the worry of your crisis. Whatever the dark dilemma may be, whatever pain and anguish you may be suffering, know that within yourself you can triumph over the turmoil. Know that you have the power within yourself to seize, to believe, and to achieve. The darkness will wither as the positive golden light of goodness washes upon your life. Together we will join across the ocean waters, across the soils, the forests, and the deserts, and you will rise above the challenge before you. May you find an energy. May you receive strength to continue through this day and into tomorrow. Soon your darkness will fade. A golden dawn will bring another lovely day. May peace be with you. Let us not give a thought to what we do not have. Let us thank God for the blessings that we do have. Amen.
Amazing what I've just been witnessing, you guys. As that prayer was starting, the sun had basically set off to the west. The sky's pretty much clear of cloud, though right above us at this time there was a large flat white cloud. It's flat in the sense there's no, I couldn't see any bumps anywhere. It's like a big saucer. It's like a big saucer right above our property. And I can see the blue sky out the back to the horizon, but this piece of white cloud is almost like a circular disc over the top of the house there at this time. The sun was reflecting off that, as the sun's setting in the west, the sun was reflecting off that cloud and onto the yard here and all the trees and all the yard. I'm not joking. It was like the sun had started to shine on the yard. There was just a... Off the cloud there was this yellowy, more yellow than pink, but a slight pink tinge type of light. And the yard was quite light. And I'm sitting there, standing here looking at the yard, thinking the yard's got light. And, yeah, it's reflecting off this cloud, which is slowly moving its way westward. But it was just very coincidental that as that prayer was going, that was happening here in the yard. And, yes, who knows? Anyway, guys, it's time for you to grab your drink of choice, and we'll get into our first little tune of the night and get into the more laid-back type of stuff with the part of our show. grab your drink of choice, and as you know, mine will be the swamp water, but and we'll drink yourself more bliss. Saying about lighting up the yard, just as that little clip was playing there, once again, the yard is bathed in shadow, the light is gone. It was funny how that light, well, it's not funny, it really is, it's a signal, it's a sign. There was that's the way I look at it. God works in mysterious ways, no doubt about it. But anyway, I've got my drink of choice. I've got my swamp water, and with this ginger base and everything else in there. My swamp water is mixed up with a bit of apple cider vinegar and low calorie, no calorie fruit drink in there, with the ginger, the rosemary, the basil, and the oregano juices in there as well. So I'm like a little spring chicken or bantam rooster. The Mad Scissor Lady, she doesn't want to call me a spring chicken because that's nice. She likes to call me the little bantam rooster, which is her way of picking on me, I know, but that's all right. Now, listen, we've got to have a bit of romance, start the show off, get a little bit of romance going in the show. So we'll kick off with a happy little tune. It's a happy little one, but it's a little bit romantic. It's about sweet lovers, and it's just a happy one. on. Nicole, welcome back. And I'm Joshua. And just looking at the chat room, and I got to say, we got a good cross section of the country in the chat room there for sure. We got Golf Dogs, who's the mayor of Galveston in Houston. He's the Texas representative here. He's a howdy guy, and good old Golf Dogs there. And we've got the Bigfoot up in Maryland. See, I'm learning how to pronounce that state, Maryland. Maryland or Maryland. Anyway, Bigfoot, he's over there. And we got Ed, we got the Caramel Conservative, we've got Brother Ed, who's up in Wisconsin. And then in the switchboard, well, we got young Alan. I'm not sure where young Alan is most of the time. He's all over the place. But however, he's of Australian extraction. But the Mad Scissor Lady I don't know where she could be tonight, because she gets around on an executive jet. You see, she flies all around the country on an executive jet, making speeches to conferences, talking to the males of the world and lecturing them and telling them how to try and be good and be nice and polite to ladies. She does that, I believe, on her executive jet. So I don't know where she is tonight. But yes, I've got a cross section of people there. But we'll get to a very important things now. We'll get to the vital facts of our very dull and boring and mundane reports, the exciting tales. And once again, see, Bigfoot's come to my aid. I can say Marilyn, or in local dialect, Merlin. I think Merlin was the one that I'd picked up off some of Bigfoot's explanations before. I always used to say Maryland, Maryland. Yes. Anyway, whatever. I'm sure it's a nice place to live, because if Bigfoot's there, it's got to be a good place. So, and if it isn't, well, he'll fix it. But yes, as we go through our boring reports our from the oasis here and talking about the beauty of nature in our backyard, right out the back here, looking at the trees and the lawns and things, it's amazing that light was in the yard before. The yard's completely black now, can't see a thing. But yes, the weather report for the week. All right, on to the weather report for the week. Well, as you know, that the fine weather we've been getting for a while there, I was having to get out and do a bit of watering, and watering all the citrus trees and the other roses and fruit trees and flowers and things. Everything was taking like about 90 minutes to a couple of hours to get around and water sometimes. But this last week I had one batch of watering to do just on the early part of the weekend, and then been lucky enough to have rain. So they've got out of watering. I've got out of watering mainly this week because of the rain we've had. We've had three good batches of rain. I know we've had the power's gone off at least three times with storms over the last week, and particularly yesterday. I was about to go into drive down to the airport to do my limousine job as Matteo the limo driver. And Matteo the limo driver was going to get the Sky Princess from the airport in his limo service that he provides. It's all part of my honey-do list, which is very extensive. But as I was leaving, for some reason I thought, I often leave my desktop computer running, and I thought, I'll turn that computer off before I go. This looks like some threatening clouds coming our way. Well, I'd all but got 5 or 10 minutes into my journey, and I was hitting winds that I've got to say were at least 40, probably over 50. Some of the gusts were well over 50 miles an hour. I know that. They were pushing vehicles around on the road, and the trees and things on the side of the road were bending around. And it was very, very strong winds, and then it eased as I got closer to the airport. And I had to sit at the airport and wait a while because of the storm. The aircraft that the beautiful SP was coming in on was a little bit, they were sent out a little bit and of a long distance way to land because of the storm that was coming. So she finally got me, and I came, picked her up. And as we started to leave the airport to come home, then we started getting big spots of rain on the window of the truck. And by the time we'd gotten home, it was torrential, because as we come up 59, the 59 South or North Freeway out of Houston, it was incredible. The traffic was almost at a standstill with the rain. It was so torrential. In fact, I think they had stopped further up the road, because we were just sort of missed the tail end of it when we came off. We could see this this black funnel, not funnel, it was like a tube, it was like a black tube laying from west to east, right across, west to east across the freeway as it ran north. And you could see this black tube sort of unfurling, and then it just, man, did it come down? It poured, and yes, we ended up with the power off. But the as I say, we've had about 3 power cuts this last week due to storms and things. So, but that's all good. I like the lightning. I like thunder, and I don't necessarily like. I like driving it in it myself, but I don't necessarily like driving with the other people who get in it, because there's some people that when it rains, put your foot down to the floorboards and go faster. It was interesting because even driving down a 30 mile an hour road to where we live, some guy on a motorbike came past me on it was a one lane road. I'm on like our lane, one lane and one lane going the other way. He came down and undertook me, didn't overtake me, undertook me on the curb, on the edge of the road there. And I heard this roar as he went past. I thought, okay, I guess I was going too slow for him in the rain. But anyway, that's what life is. That's what it's all about. Nothing to worry about. But the garden report here, I've got to say, the Poinciana that I was having trouble with, that Poinciana that I planted, was actually the one that got damaged in transporting here. It's taken off. It's grown like crazy, but it got a little bit yellow the other week I hadn't watered it quite as often as I should have. And I guessed it was a water, but now with the watering I've done and with the added rains, it's gone crazy. It looks great, absolutely great. And the new oregano seeds have now turned into wee plants. We've got oregano plants coming up everywhere, fresh oregano, because I've already got some old ones there, but I want to replace them and put a new batch of oregano in. So they're going to come through, and they've got an elephant ear has just sprouted up out of the ground where I had transplanted the big one from earlier several months ago. We've got about an 18-inch high elephant ear on its way out of the ground there. And the white crepe myrtle, which we rescued out of a bucket a couple of years ago, and we've been sort of nursing along and spoiling it a little bit, and it's finally leapt into life after all this time, and it's standing. I'd have to say it's bushed out into a very majestic looking plant, and it's probably about 8 foot tall, and it's at least 10, 11 feet across, and it's got these huge fists. I mean, I got a big fist, but it's bigger than my fist. It's these huge fists of white. It's a white crepe myrtle. Oh, they're just like big snowballs, and it looks majestic at the moment. It looks fabulous, and it's looking down on a little dahlia. One of the dahlias I planted is finally flowered as well, so you've got a nice little purple dahlia there. And the topsoil that I spread around the herb garden the other week, I planted nasturtium seeds. We've got nasturtiums, a couple of packets of nasturtiums in there. And because nasturtiums you can eat, you can eat them in salads and things, but they're a pretty looking plant to be around on the ground as well. And I got planted some dill seeds and some cilantro seeds. I got a bunch of cilantro in the freezer from the crop we got last lot I had, so never get enough cilantro, and it's also, for those of you who have heard me talk about it on the show before, the health benefits of cilantro are huge health benefits. If you Google them or DuckDuckGo or Start Page or do a search on them, you'll find cilantro has got some excellent health benefits. But also I planted sweet peas. I love sweet peas. We had sweet peas when we were little kids growing up, and we used to plant them, and they'd grow up on the wire netting at home on the fence, and pretty little things. But I get amused by simple things, and so yes, the sweet peas, I planted them along the backside of the one of the raised vegetable gardens. So when they come up, I'll guide them along the small netting fence, which stands about 3 foot tall around the vegetable garden to keep SP's rabbits out of my vegetables, to keep her critters out. I can't keep the squirrels out, but I got to keep the rabbits out, I suppose. Try anyway. But I had to do some mowing today in the middle of the day because, I don't know, it was SP basically said to me, well, you might as well go and mow now as mow later in the day because it's going to be hotter, and she was dead right. So I went out, and it was in the mid-80s when I mowed about just before midday today, and I'm telling you, man, 35 minutes of pushing a mower out there, that was enough. I was soaked, and it was funny, I was... I thought I got to share this with you guys. You get these cryptic messages sometimes, and I think I get a very cryptic message, because here's this old fool pushing around in the sun with this mower and absolutely drenched, and I've got my face mask on as usual anyway, but absolutely saturated top to bottom. And I came into my barn and got down in the old chair in there. There's a old rocking chair in there that an old armchair, actually, not a rocking chair, an armchair. And I changed my boots, take my boots off and put my footwear back on to come in back into the house. And as I was doing that, you know, sometimes here you start to hum a song and something catchy gets in your head and you keep this song that keeps playing over in your head. Well, that one that was coming playing over at that time was Auld Lang Syne. I don't know why I was thinking about Auld Lang Syne while I was about to stroke out pushing the mower, but anyway, not to worry. The tall canners that we got, the tall maroon leaf canners, they got wind damaged several weeks ago, and I'd mentioned how they're looking pretty sad. Well, I got to work with a knife the other day and cut them off about 3 foot above the ground, and hopefully they'll come away again. The tops are just were too badly damaged. But the good news with some roses that I transplanted from outside the gate, they started off with a hiss and a roar outside the gate, and then they fizzled. So I bought them inside and planted them in a garden that runs along beside the footpath beside the house and between the house and the barn, and put them in there, and that come away some beautiful yellow and orange flowers. But now on to the part of the report that is very important to SP, because it's the critter report, and they're up the totem pole further than poor old Joshua, I can tell you. But I mentioned to you guys last week how I'd been down the back with the mower, clearing a lot of the undergrowth that's down there, a lot of the new growth coming through. There's not just grass, but there's small little trees and bushes and things that are trying to regrow. It's like the Amazon jungle. Leave it a few days and they grow about 4 or 5 inches. So I'd been down there clearing and cutting and everything. Well, we'd been getting, the deer had been coming through and they would stop and eat because they had so much, you know, nice, good, tender stuff in there to eat. I looked out there the other day just as a huge stag ran from the eastern side of the property to the western side, and he absolutely leapt over this bush over there through the air, and I looked just as he was in full flight through the air, full flight, magnificent. Would have been an absolute spectacular photograph to get, honestly. And right behind him were another two or three deer, and then a fourth one ran around the top of the property. And I'm just wondering whether, because I'd cleared everything down there, whether they were a little wary that it might be some sort of a trap or something, because boy, they were in full overdrive getting across the property. There's no doubt about it, and I haven't seen anything back since. So not sure whether me clearing the property down there has scared them or what. But man, was he motoring when he came through? Unless they got scared by a dog somewhere else. But and SP's little rabbits. Oh my gosh, these little rabbits. They're like some sort of house pets outside now. They sit and they talk. There's a couple outside the window here today just sitting on the edge of the footpath here chewing away at the grass, and they sit there and look at you. And now I'm the rabbit whisperer, but I think SP's trying to do that now too. She's trying to learn rabbit lingo and talk to them as well, so she's enjoying their presence in a big way. But I got to say, yesterday after the storm, the bird feeders, we had the storm sort of, early evening, and then another couple of hours before it got dark, the birds absolutely hammered the feeders. After that, they must have all disappeared during the afternoon when they were usually having their feeding, and they came back with a vengeance just before it got dark. It was amazing. Now, on the kitty cat reports, SP is telling me that the kitties now need a new nylon plastic castle thingy that they play on, and I'm sure that the lady with the executive jet that flies all around the country all the time will understand this, the Mad Scissor lady. I'm sure she'll understand what I'm talking about, because she's a cat lady, funny enough. But yes, it's got to be this nylon castle, this plastic frame with a nylon all over it for the poor little kitty cats. And I'm going to have to negotiate very tough and take a stance on this. You'll see how long that's going to last. I can see a new castle turning up at the house. Yeah, yes, poor old Joshua, downtrodden man. Anyway, I got to say, during the week too, on the cooking report, I made a batch of my old homemade plum sauce, and it is delicious. I love this plum sauce recipe. It's on Simon's website, simonnicole.net, under the recipe page on simonnicole.net, the recipe page. Now, that's for a big batch on there. I think it's for about 6 pounds of plums. Now, the one I made the other day was I just used 3 pounds of black plums and made this beautiful. Oh man, I love it. The cloves that are in it seem to give it a bit of a bite, and it depends on how much chili and stuff you want to put in it. You can sort of heat it up yourself, but it's great with any sort of cold meats and things, and can almost put it on flip flops and eat them. Anyway, and on the travel report. Well, SP, as I said, Mateo's been backwards and forwards to the airport, as if a man doesn't have enough to do already with all the other little things I've got to do around the place here. And plus, I've been trying to resurrect an old lawnmower as well, trying to get an old lawnmower for down the back to smash the growth as well, get that going. Beijing duck, yeah. Beijing duck, yes, that's it. Peking duck, oh man, yes. Oh man, that's at one stage of my life I won't go into that story. Let's say I was the largest. I had the largest distribution agency for a Muscovy duck, a particular type of duck back in New Zealand that I used to do it as a sort of a secondary job when I was working and went to one of the airlines there. I had a lot to do with ducks, Bigfoot, and I love a good duck meal. Oh man. Bigfoot's really got me off the topic completely with this. He's ordering Peking duck, but he's not sure whether he should call it Beijing duck. Man, oh, good bit of duck is great. But anyway, I sure hope and pray, you guys, that Simon Nicole's show can be maybe a vehicle for you and hopefully a catalyst to provide a little bit of a diversion, a little bit of a distraction, and get you away from the mayhem and the challenges that are out there in the world, and hopefully get you some lift as you live each day and savor God's blessings. And I know that some of our listeners have got themselves into better places. Some are still dealing with major, and I'm telling you, major stuff. I just pray for them daily and often too. But it's a reminder for all of us. Simon Show's a reminder for all of us to just try to maintain your own mental, your own physical, and your spiritual health. You've got to get the whole lot going. It's a key to being able to cope with whatever it's tossed your way and to work with and beat any challenges you face, and especially as we go down this road to Oldiesville. And it does tend to sneak up on you. And just discipline yourself into good habits. Get good habits going. The habits, you can change habits. You can change a lot of habits immediately, but some take a little bit longer if you work on them. We've talked about that on the show as well, about changing habits. But if you review your habits of how you do stuff, if you get yourself into a good place mentally, physically, and spiritually, it'll make a big difference to the quality of your day, I tell you. Use it or lose it. And as we always say, feel free to call in. If you want to call in, please feel free to do so. And my weekly job is to annoy you guys and ask you, did you exercise today? Did you do something more than what you normally do? Did you just get up and do a little bit more extra? That's what you've got to do. Just do that little bit extra each day. Whether it doesn't matter what it is, just do a little bit extra. And it'll help. And mine, as I've already told you, was my perspiration workout pushing that mower. But anyway, this next bit of music sort of is going to tie into our topic about numbers later on when we get into the show. But it's going to also get the blood pumping a little bit to start with, I guess. I don't know. We got to. Sometimes I'm not sure why I select the music, whether it's just I don't know. It's just maybe it's because I like the music, or maybe it's because I want to annoy people. I don't know what it is. Yes, I think this one speaks for itself. It's just a noisy one.
Yeah.
This is Simon Nicole. Welcome back. I'm Joshua. I'm Joshua, and I'm also calling my attorney in the morning. I'm calling my attorney to set up, start a class action. No, not a class action, just to start an action against Golf Dogs. And I'm going to put in Mad Scissor Lady as his accomplice as well, because Golf Dogs is being rude to me in the chat room once again about it's elder abuse of the finest sense. He's telling me when that music's playing to be careful that it might throw my heart out of rhythm. I don't know. These people have no respect for the poor old man doing the show. I'm under enough stress and pressure here at home with all the honeydews that SP gets me to do without you guys picking on me. But that's all right. We'll get back to reading something from Bonnie Trentham Myers, The Greatest Smoky Mountain Stories. And we got talking about washing machines and irons and stuff like that up in the old Smoky Mountains back in the days when Miss Myers was growing up there as a young lady. Well, in her little book, we were up to, in the letter L, and letter L, she's got leather breeches or breeches, and she said, you did not wear them, you ate them. Green beans still in the pod were strung on string and hung out to dry to preserve them. They were soaked in water and boiled when it was time to eat them. I do not remember my mother ever preparing beans this way, but I do recall seeing long strings of them hanging on a porch at one backwoods home, except for the holes. I imagine they taste somewhat like dried beans of today. Leather breeches or breeches. I don't know how that got to that one. But anyway, the next topic she has is leeches or bloodsuckers. She said they lived in the branches and the ponds around our house, and they were worms about 1/2 inch long, which stuck to your feet and your legs. And we watched for them when we waded the 2-mile branch that ran through our farm. And as a small child, I can recall picking them off my legs. Or we removed them by sprinkling them with salt. Their bodies divided into rings or sections, and they had up to 10 pairs of eyes. And sight is said to be their only sense organ. And early doctors used the leeches to bleed sick people to cure them. And they were used especially on bruises or other poisonous skin conditions. And in 1995, a friend of mine was in a well-known hospital with an undiagnosed condition around his ankles. And the hospital obtained leeches from New York to treat him. He said he felt like something out of the Dark Ages. Well, she says, my late second husband, Roy Raskowski, said that after using leeches, his mother squeezed the blood out of them and fed them to keep them alive for later use. Okay, I hope none of you were eating any food while I was reading. But anyway, leg cramps. Now, this is interesting, leg cramps, because I know myself and others, listeners on the show, from time to time have had leg cramps. Well, the Smoky Mountain recipe or remedy from Miss Myers is you squeeze hard on the upper lip. And with feet flat on the floor, you stand 3 feet from a wall and bend the body toward the wall. The other one is to bathe the legs in apple cider vinegar. Another one is to wrap them in warm towels or spray them with very warm water. Another one is to put the feet in cold water. Another one is, today, calcium tablets often work very well. Yeah, well, the calcium tablets, I've been through that one. Yes, calcium tablets do work well. The only side issue there is, which I found out after many years of using a calcium supplement, I found out that it also, because I've got arrhythmia or an irregular heartbeat, because my heart was broken so many times when I was a young guy because of these beautiful women breaking my heart. I ended up with a dicky ticker, and it goes pitter-patter-bang, pitter-patter-bang, and one day it's just going to go bang. But, yes, the calcium, it affects, it has an adverse effect on people with heart conditions, particularly with arrhythmia, I believe. So just be aware of that. Anyway, Miss Myers writes about L, the letters edged in black, letters edged in black. Before telephones were available, relatives notified distant family members of a death in the family with a letter edged in black. She said, to my knowledge, our family never received such a letter. I assume that jet oil or paint was used to make the black edges. And when my son, Donald Trent Myers, died in 1998, I sent a letter, edged in black, to Peter and Christine Strentham in England. And they'd never heard the letter edged in black warned that the letter held the news of a death in the family. Liar, L-I-A-R. That there is probably a lot to do with certain people on this show who pick on Joshua because they use such untrue stories, very, very, very bad stories. But it's to do with old-timers detected a liar by filling his mouth with flour. And if innocent, the suspect had enough saliva to rid himself of the flour, and if guilty, he would choke on it. Aha! We might put this show onto a video link and we'll do some flour testing with the people in the chat room who are very rude at times. Anyway, locks, L-O-C-K-S. I can't recall using keys to lock our doors until the 1960s, and often we did not have a key. And if anyone had a key, they told the neighbours where they kept it in case they needed to get into the house. And we could go to the hardware store and buy a skeleton key to unlock practically every building in town except the bank. Her husband, she refers to him here as Ray T. Ray T contended that a locked door only told an honest man you were not home. However, someone suggested that when coming home alone at night, to call out, "Well, here I am, broke again," in case a burglar is in the house. Now, that's interesting that she said they can't recall using keys to lock their doors until the 1960s. As I recall, and I'm thinking it was in the 1960s, in New Zealand, we never locked our houses, we never locked our cars. In fact, when you went to town, you left the keys in the car. But yes, I can remember how upset my dear mum was because the back door to the house, you came up some steps to the back door, and there was a little porchway to the door that came into the kitchen on the house, and the kitchen door, or the entry door to the house from the back of the house, had a small frosted glass window on the top. And I can remember one day when my mother came home from shopping in town and that window was broken. And this is when they started locking the house in latter years, and she was really upset about that. It was which she was getting on in years at that time too. But it was interesting. It was in the 60s when we just left everything unlocked. That's the way it was. Different world. Anyway, she writes here also about long handles. Miss Myers writes about long handles, and she says everyone wore long handles, also called long johns. They covered all the body except the hands, the feet, and the head. And the style for the men and the woman was obviously a little different. Each had a trap door in the back. My mother required us to wear our long handles until May the 1st each year, no matter how warm it became. And if I took them off, she made me put them back on again. I remember how embarrassed I was when I attended Pi Beta Phi school. The long handles bulged under my socks so that it was obvious I was wearing them. And this many years later, I can still recall the names of the two girls who made fun of me because of this. I shall never forget the time my little brother took his bath and he donned his long-handled underwear. Arriving back in the living room where all the family was gathered around the fire, his head protruded from the trapdoor of the long johns. His feet and legs were where his arms should have been, and his arms were where his legs should have been. And that incident happened more than 70 years ago, and I can almost hear my father laughing yet at that sight. Okay, so... that's as far as we're going to go with Miss Meyer's book this evening, and we'll get on to our next music selection, which ties in a little bit to what we're going to be talking about next, which is to do with the title of the show about reducing a stress by numbers. And if I could really annoy people, I guess I'm going to really annoy some people by playing ABBA.
Too bad in my dreams.
on, Nicole. Welcome back. And yeah, the title of tonight's show is Reducing Stress by Numbers, which was my way of addressing the good old, the proverbial problem that pops up in a lot of people's lives and causes all sorts of stress, and it's to do with budgeting. It's talk to do with balancing the family budget. And in particular, a lot of times when people are sort of bringing up kids and going through school, but it even impacts people who have, let's say, got past the worries and the trials and tribulations of bringing up, supporting kids and that sort of thing. But to do with the reducing stress by numbers, the way I've put it like that is, if you're on top of your dollars in and your dollars out, your budget, if you're on top of that, it will take away a lot of the stress in your life. Because a lot of the times people let numbers rattle around in their heads and they work on sort of an assumption, or I've got plenty of money, I'm okay, or, you know, we're doing okay, or we're not doing okay, though we know we're struggling, but they don't know the specifics. And I think it's very good to at least know where you are. And oftentimes when you do a budget, and I've done that for years, and I guess I'm very blessed in the sense that I am very good with mental arithmetic, and just was quicker than most guys with calculators when it came to getting an answer, when it came to mathematics. So I'm just a bit blessed that way. But I know from my career, or one of my careers that I had, was in banking for nearly 25 years as both a bank manager of a branch and as a private banker looking after the banking of people who are the top end, the chief executives and all the high income earners. I came across people, it's across all socioeconomic areas. So don't ever think that though just those people who are earning small incomes, don't just think that they are the ones that have got problems when it comes to money. Because a lot of people, as I say, if you don't have a budget and you don't work to a budget, then you really are driving blind. But if you do have a budget, even if your news is bad, even if your news is bad and you're running pretty close to the edge as far as spending goes, in the sense that you're probably spending more than you're earning, or you're close to spending more than you're earning, at least if you know what your problem is, you can start doing bringing in other ways to get on top of it. And sometimes it's because people do not discipline themselves strong enough. But it's just a lot of stuff that goes on. For example, I remember sitting down one day with a lady who lived in a small rural town in the countryside, and she was on a very good income. She was on a very good income for that town, and she had a government, local government job, and she was having trouble. She was always, her checking account was always overdrawn. So we sat down and we went through her budget. And so I used to get a pad of paper and set it on the desk, and we'd go through the income side of it, and then we'd go down with a list of what we had in the way of either a mortgage or rent and insurance and gasoline and electricity and food and all that sort of stuff, run through all the little incidentals, and then whatever it might be, if you've got kids, you've got all the school fees and clothing and that sort of stuff as well. We'd do a budget and we come to the bottom and we do the old take it, subtract it from the top number, the income number. And we'd say, well, you've got plenty of money here. What are you talking about? Where's the money going? And then you sort of dig around. You ask other questions. Well, do you drink? Oh, yes, I drink. Or do you drink very much? Well, I don't know. Well, how much? And then you find out that they're spending X dollars. You see, the thing is this. If you look at a budget on a weekly basis, when you're looking at a monthly figure, there's 4.3 weeks in a month. Not just 4 weeks in a month. A lot of people just think, oh, there's 4 weeks in a month, da-da-da. Well, there's 4.3. When you're doing mathematics, there's a little bit of difference here. But the thing was, break it down on a weekly basis. And this lady, I can remember this time, she was earning this money. This particular lady, she didn't have a drink outgoing, and she didn't smoke. So she didn't. And that's an interesting one, because a lot of people, when their budgets, they particularly where I was working in New Zealand, where the price of alcohol and the price of cigarettes is huge, particularly cigarettes compared to America, it's way expensive. And once they put that into their budget, sometimes that the light would come on as to why they were tight. But this particular lady, her problem was that she was very generous with her relatives. Now, because of the fact that she was earning a big income and they knew it, oftentimes she would help a relative out that was struggling with their own finances, because it was a sort of a poorer socioeconomic area. And while that's all very, let's say, it's very good that she would do that. In fact, it's fabulous that she's looking after her family. The problem was it was impacting her and falling back and hitting her in a big way as far as her own financial strengths went. It was weakening her completely. So. And then so there was that situation, and then there was another situation where I went once and into this high-rise executive building in Auckland in New Zealand, and in my role as I had a nationwide role as a private banker for the whole country for this particular bank, and I arrived at this office of this attorney who was not only very well known in the town, but he had a terrific reputation as a man of integrity and everything else, and an impeccable sort of a guy. He was a lieutenant colonel as well in the reserves. He was a bit of everything, and he earned something like $800,000 a year, which is big money back in New Zealand for an attorney. And his good lady was earning not far behind that. She was an attorney as well, and she was earning not far behind that. But that was a second marriage situation. But it was quite funny when I was sitting in his office, and because his banking account had been having a few problems, and he couldn't get this done, and he couldn't get that. And you would have thought I'd hit him on the head with a sledgehammer when I said to him, "Well, do you do a budget?" It was like I'd insulted the man. And so I persisted, and I kept talking and going along this line of, well, what do you spend on this? What do you spend on that? Oh, we don't have to worry about this. We don't have to worry about this. And he was so pompous and so arrogant, because he thought that he was this high-powered attorney in this really big-name firm. I've got to tell you, it was one of the top legal firms. And here he is. I don't think he'd ever had anyone speak to him. Well, it was bluntly, let's say, I wasn't rude to him. I was professional in my questioning, but he was really put out by the fact that I should ask him about spending this and spending that. And it turned out here he was earning $800,000 a year, and his partner, his wife-to-be, was, I think she was on $500,000 or $600,000, and they weren't making ends meet. Can you believe that? I couldn't. I nearly fell over. Anyway, when I dug into what they were spending their money on and where they were, what they were buying and what they weren't buying, it was madness. So, but what I'm saying is, and of course, people like that, you can't help them. If people don't want to help themselves, you're not going to get anywhere. So, but the thing is, in talking to you guys tonight, if you have any sort of monetary issues, all I can suggest is to definitely sit down, get a spreadsheet worked out, and do it. You can do a monthly spreadsheet if you wish, but I think when you're starting off, and I did this one when I was in business, when I had a restaurant, always had a weekly budget. That's a great way to go, because at the end of a month, if you've got a problem with your finances and you get to the end of the month, you've got just over 4 weeks of whatever it might have been, some negative thing that's going on within your budget structure. And so, you've got so much more to bring back. But on a weekly basis, if you manage it on a weekly basis and look at it one night, once a week, just check the budget against the bills that are coming in and what you're spending on and things like that, you'll get a more of a control going, and it'll help to reduce a lot of stress. I know that, as I say, the bad news, if you're addressing the bad news as soon as you can rather than waiting down the line and finding out at the end of the month, or in some cases people wait till the end of the year and they find, oh my gosh, I've got no money for this or I've got no money for that. So if you've allowed for it along the way, particularly when it comes to things like property taxes, and some states in America, property taxes are horrendous. The property taxes here in Texas are very, very tough. Compared to Tennessee, where I lived in Tennessee, we pay five or six times as much property taxes here as we did in Tennessee for the similar size property and everything. It's incredible. So, yeah, you've got to really make sure you're setting that money aside weekly, monthly, or whatever it is, so that at the end of the year, that money's there. So, yeah, it's just a little bit of a chat on on budgeting and how important it is to be disciplined as you can. And then, as I say, you can do your budget and just check your bills against the budget, particularly on things like, you know, your electricity. Sometimes your electricity bill can really go up with the cold weather. You've got to obviously keep the place going or whatever. In the hot weather, you've got to, you know. But then, just by adjusting the settings on your heating or adjusting the settings on your cooling, just a couple of degrees either way can make a big difference into what your bill's being paid. And then when you're grocery shopping, I tell you, I've always been a real Scrooge when it comes to grocery shopping. I don't go and buy exotic stuff unless I can break it down to a portion controlled sort of cost. I can say, well, okay, that's only going to cost me that much for a serving. That's okay. Thankfully, SP's been great as far as that goes too. But yeah, your grocery bill, or where you shop with your groceries, that's where you can catch up a lot, particularly if you buy buy in bulk and cook stuff up and then freeze it down into portions and things like that, whatever. There's all sorts of ways around it, but just focus on it. The big thing is have a budget. And while I'm on that topic, I'll share something else with you while I'm on this topic. To those of you who don't have, who've got, you know, substantial bank accounts or significant bank accounts, or you know, you've got no one else to look after your bank accounts and things, take some advice from your bank or whoever your bank, whether a credit union or a bank, whatever it might be, and get a durable power of attorney in place. Because as we get older, and it's one thing I found in the banking industry, was that oftentimes I had people come in and say, my grandmother's had a fall, she's in hospital, she can't do this and she can't do that, and she wants some bills paid. And I said, well, are you on the account? No, I'm not on the account. Well, no one's on the account. She's the only one on the account. She's the only one who can sign. I went to a hospital a couple of times with people to meet with people in the hospital and just to get them to pay, just to put an X on a piece of paper, even just to get approval to have them, to get them onto an account. I probably bent the bank rules a little bit more in favor of the customer than I should have, but I could see the situation they were in and helped to work it through. But oftentimes you'll get a bank that'll be pretty tough on you when it comes to having access to a relative's account. And from your own point of view, it's good to get some advice on having a durable power of attorney, or different banks have got different terminology for having someone else operate your account. But you see, you don't have to have a will in place for dying, because the other thing is you need to also look at protecting yourself against injury or some debilitating disease, or you have a car wreck and you're in a car wreck, you get your arms broken, you can't write, you can't do your bills or whatever it might be. Have someone, you know, get someone appointed to oversee your financial affairs for you in case you're incapacitated. It's something a lot of people don't think about, and a lot of people don't plan about it. They sort of think, oh, I've got a will. If I die, I'm okay, I've got a will. Well, that's another thing too. Make sure that when you've got a will in place that you have things like powers of attorney for health decisions too. Once again, if you're in a health situation where you may be comatose, someone has to, give the word as to what instructions are to be made as far as the treatment goes. You need to appoint someone to oversee yourself from a health point of view as well, so that you've got someone that can step in. So it's all helpful in making things tidy and less stressful. Anyway, a little bit of, we got to get some music going now tied up to money, but this one here, and I think someone likes this group. I've heard it on another blog talk radio show. I think someone likes this group. I'm not sure. You see, I didn't play the full song. This is Simone Nicole. Welcome back. I'm Joshua. I wanted to share some another topic with you, another one that our good friend Golf Dogs brought to my attention a few weeks back, and I sort of had it sitting here. But, yeah, hat tip to Golf for bringing this to my attention, because like a lot of things, I've learned a lot from other people, and it's good to pick up stuff from other people, and Golf's been very helpful in this regard, because the topic I'm talking about here are the benefits of boron, B-O-R-O-N, boron. And it's something that I wasn't even aware of. I'd never taken it, well, I've heard of it, but I wasn't familiar with it in any way. It's probably the best way to go. So thanks, Golf, for drawing it to my attention. This article I got here is 15 surprising benefits of boron. And it's put out by Minaski Nagdevia, and it's been reviewed by Rebecca Zinger. But boron is a biological trace mineral that has been studied for its many health benefits when it's consumed in your daily diet. And health conditions such as arthritis and osteoporosis can be managed with medications prescribed by a doctor, but more importantly with a diet that includes boron. And it's suggested that boron aids in bone health, the immune system, increasing joint mobility, and possibly even prostate and breast health. And it's also predicted to improve the absorption of other minerals such as calcium and magnesium. And the symptoms of boron deficiency are, although all of the deficiency symptoms of boron are not fully understood, apparently it's predicted that this deficiency might result in the following: where you might have an abnormal metabolism of calcium and magnesium, where you might have hyperthyroidism, sex hormone imbalance, osteoporosis and arthritis, and a neural malfunction. Well, the health benefits of boron, I'll just run through a few of these for you, because it's very simple to include boron in the daily diet. More specifically, a diet that's rich in plant-based options such as fruits, vegetables, and grains. And some of the benefits include the following: it can relieve menstrual pain, it aids in wound healing, and it can help prevent arthritis. It also boosts bone health and the absorption of magnesium. It can help with sex hormone balance. It can prevent postmenopausal osteoporosis. It's got an anti-cancer potential in there. They're not 100% sure about that, but they think it does. It's got a proper cell membrane function, and it enhances testosterone levels, and it lowers plasma lipid levels. It can reduce fungal infections, and it improves cognition, which is important as you're getting old, you know, the old memory, the concentration and the coordination and stuff like that. So it improves cognition. It inhibits harmful enzymes. And the list of the boron-rich foods out there, some of the best boron-rich foods include the following: apples, oranges, red grapes, pears, plums, kiwis, kiwi fruit, sultanas, dates, raisins, the vegetables and things like avocado, onion, tomato, potato, soybeans, nuts and nut butter, lentils, chickpeas, kidney beans, and soybeans, raisins, olive oil, and you'll like this one, wine and beer. Wine and beer are good for boron-rich foods. All right. I'm going to tell SP, we're getting a truckload of wine and beer in tomorrow. I want to get the boron into me. That'll go over well. But it's recommended to not take more than the suggested supplemental dose on the container. That's important. So thanks, Golf, for bringing that to our attention. And now I just want to close, when I say close the show, we're getting to the end of the show. The last tune I want to play for you, I love this one. It's a real great relaxing one. And as I've said many times on this show, I love listening to this with the stereo on, sort of not too loud, but love it echoing around the high ceilings in our house. We've got these beautiful high ceilings, and it's so great when it goes up around the I guess they're about 24, 25 foot high in the lounge area. This is amazing when you hear it echoing around the house at night. It's just something, and it's probably a good way to end the show with a bit of tranquility and a bit of serenity and beautiful music. And this lady here with Yanni is amazing. This Darlene Coldenhaven. I just love this, watching this live. Terrific. This is Simon Nicole. Welcome back, and I'm Joshua. And remember this, friends, every day is a lovely day, and life is just a little breeze. Try to spoil yourself, and then you've got the energy to spoil others, and wake up every morning and tell yourself that it's going to be a special day, and grab the God-given blessings that you have, and see them, and savor them, and nurture them. Life is great, and living is great, and you can make it even better. You've got the power to do that. Just find the desire, find the warmth, that spark, and find that focus on being thankful, and focus on being grateful for the blessings you have. And love abounds, and love is all around, I'm telling you. I'm loving life, and I'm living life, and thanking God for all the fantastic blessings that surround us. And to you good folk out there, all of you out there, to Bigfoot, to Golf Dogs, to Ed, Brother Ed, good to see you, my friend, to Alan, and to the Scissor Lady, you guys are my blessings as well. So thanks for joining me, and thanks for being part of my day and being part of my life. Remember this. Start at zero. Start at zero and start with absolutely nothing, because everything else above zero is a blessed and treasured bonus. Always keep dreaming the dream, because dreams do come true. Visualize them, see them, believe them, achieve them, and you can do it. Just put some disciplines in place. You can do it. So until we meet again, my dear friends, take care. Be gentle on yourself. Please be gentle on yourself. This is Simon Nicole. I'm Joshua, and always remember, you're not alone. You're not alone. God bless you. God bless your family. God bless the USA. And as always, we'll leave with the seekers keeping a dream in our pocket.